So this morning I want to talk about breaking up your fallow ground. With a subtitle, do you need a spiritual health check? Well, I'm okay. And you'll understand why I've put that in at the moment. And it's going to be based on the scripture that is in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. And the word says this, it says, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will reap a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. But lots of the old translations say, break up your fallow ground, and that's the title I've given this. Break up your fallow ground. It's one of those scriptures I read in my daily Bible reading, and it just caught my attention, and I just found myself thinking about it and meditating on it. I knew God wanted me to speak on it. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you now, surprisingly, I haven't got a three-point planned sermon, okay? So no 3 points. So I'm hoping that you'll still be able to stay with me and follow what God's put on my heart, but it'll just be a little bit different. As always, I just want to set a little bit of context, though. So Hosea is the prophet at this time. Okay, he was prophesying around 760 BC through to about 722 BC. Israel was in a really sorry state. Okay, it's fair to say I think they were prostituting themselves before other gods. Basically, they were giving themselves to lots of other gods and bad practices. They pretty well turned their back on the true God. And the book of Hosea is very much about how God felt, emotionally felt about what the children of Israel were doing and their behavior towards him. And part of the way God describes how he felt was he told Hosea to marry a prostitute. Okay, so Hosea actually married a prostitute, and clearly that was going to be a disaster, and it was, Hosea's wife was very unfaithful to him. That caused Hosea a great deal of pain. And the pain that Hosea felt, represented the pain that God felt about how the children of Israel were behaving towards him. There's a direct parallel about God's feelings and Hosea's feelings, but God loved Israel. I mean, absolutely passionately loved Israel. And if you were to read Hosea chapter 11, you'd read about how God, how can I give you up, O Israel? Just so in love. And the chapter before, which is where we're just reading from, God feeling this way towards his people, he gives them this promise, that if you break up your fallow ground, if you sow seeds of righteousness, and I will shower righteousness and mercy, upon you. Unfortunately, the children of Israel completely ignored God's word. And then in 722 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by the Assyrian army. Now, so that's the kind of the context. So you might be thinking, oh my word, in for a bit of a heavy word this morning, how on earth does this apply to us? Because after all, we're a church, I think, who are earnestly seeking God. We have the word of God over us, which is about taking small steps, and checking in with God all the time, and that's true. But the answer as to how this applies to us is how we understand the phrase fallow ground. So there's a different definition of fallow ground. Fallow ground is it's land that's undergone ploughing and harrowing or raking, and it's been left unused for one or more growing seasons. So it allows the land to rest and become more fertile so that you can sow again and it will produce, more crops. So it's a positive thing, you actively do this. Unfortunately, there's a kind of a second meaning, though, to the word fallow. And it kind of comes if you let things go on too long. You see, if you leave that land and fallow it for too long, then it becomes very hard and it's dry, becomes full of weeds, and it looks really neglected and it looks unusable. And then to use that land again, you've really got to plough it and you've got to break up that hard land so that it really becomes useful. So it's an interesting word, this fallow ground. Now, on the one hand, it's really positive. The caring farmer It wants to do the right thing for the land, so it gives it rest so that it can produce more. But on the other hand, if fallow too long, if left, then, you know, it becomes neglected and hard and useless. So, you know, with that kind of understanding of the word fallow ground, you know, what is it I feel that God has been saying to me as I've been meditating on this word? Well, let's just think first of all about the positive aspect of a fallow ground. Jesus once referred to his father as the gardener. He said, "I'm the vine, and my father is the gardener." And there's a feeling that, you know, as the father, the gardener, has been fallowing us as a church. And what I mean by that is, I think we've been through a period where God has kind of given us a kind of a rest from the, you know, all the things that maybe God wants us to do and the things that we need to do to increase his kingdom. He's been strengthening us, he's been encouraging us, and he's been rejuvenating us, and he's been giving us, you know, a fresh sense of life and a fresh sense of awareness of his spirit. And, you know, we've been sharing this, you know, a lot recently. In fact, you know, at home group this week, just gone, many of us shared about, you know, what we feel God has been saying to us as a church, or about how we ourselves are feeling. And you, like me, I think I'm just blown over. I have to say, I'm really encouraged and full of joy over what God has been doing within us, and that life that I really see, you know, that that God has been doing. And I was really struck by what Tony Martin shared last week. He came out with this phrase, didn't he? And I mentioned this on Wednesday. He said that the church that you want can become the enemy of the church you have. And I really thought about that scripture, because I knew what I was going to be preaching this week. And you know, the church you want could be the enemy of the church you have. And I've shared this a number of times, I have a real burden for growth. And, you know, because I really feel that as a church we need to grow. And I want to say here and now that I am not unhappy with what we are and what we have, because it's beautiful. You know, church, we are beautiful. And I say that not out of a sense of fleshly pride. I say it out of a sense of what I feel the Holy Spirit, what I feel God the Father feels about us. You know, there's a pleasure of God. We felt it last night, you know, in that theatre production. There was an ownership of God with us in the things that we're doing. Nevertheless, I really do feel passionately that we need to grow. And the reason growth is important, because growth is part of life. You know, the part of being alive is that you grow, you know, and we should grow, and we should want to grow. And it, you know, it should be a godly desire. We should have the right reasons for wanting to grow. But growth has to be part of it. But, you know, this desire for growth, I want to assure you, is not going to be an enemy of what we are. But I want us to understand that balance. We do need to grow. But in order to grow, I feel that God is saying some things here about, but that we need to break up the fallow ground. And what I feel, though, is that we have now, as a church, corporately, we're starting to move into a season of fallowing. What do I mean by that? Is God is doing some new things with us. You know, we're starting to. I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know, in the scripture that we read, you know, that was all about, you know, the sinfulness of Israel, how Israel had kind of prostituted themselves and had gone off gone completely away from God. And I'm not saying that as a church, you know, that's not what I'm feeling. I'm sure you know that, otherwise I would have said everything I've said before. What I'm feeling is this, though, that God is changing our hearts. He's changing, you know, the patterns and the preconceived ideas, that, you know, the ways we go about doing things. He's kind of breaking in there, and he wants to change things, and he's changing our attitudes. In fact, changing our attitudes is a really big thing. I found recently, again, I know I've dropped some of these things out as seeds at different times I've shared with people, but it's very easy to judge. You know, I found myself in several situations over the last few weeks where, you know, I've looked at a situation, or I've looked at a person, I've looked at their behaviour, or the kind of person they are. You know, it's a dangerous thing. You know, kind of, and we classify them and we judge them. And we think, oh, you know, I've got the measure of you kind of feeling in your mind. Have you ever kind of felt that thought? Oh, yeah, I've got the measure of you. It's kind of a judgment, really. But what I've found is that as I've had those thoughts, I felt God really challenge me over, you know, Richard, who are you to be thinking those thoughts, to be looking at that person and thinking, you know, kind of putting him in a box, but almost having a kind of a negative opinion on that. You know, it's a dreadful admission, but I'm telling you, this is kind of things what I felt myself feeling, but I felt God challenging me. And what it's made me feel is this. You know, when I think about growth, and I know I've mentioned this before as well, you know, often when we think of growth, we think of the church getting bigger and bigger with people just like us. So it's a bigger church just like us. And what God is really saying to me, I think, is that, yeah, I'm going to add people to you. And as a church, we go to grow. But don't think, Richard, it's going to be just like this, but bigger. I'm going to be adding people to you that are very different to you. They're going to have problems that you probably struggle with or, you know, traditionally perhaps look down on and things like that. But I'm going to be adding people to you, you know, but you need to be ready to receive them. You know, I need to get out of you that sense of looking down on people or, you know, because I love them all. And if I'm going to bring them to you, you've got to be able to care for them and walk with them with the love of Jesus. And that requires a breaking up of a fallow ground of attitudes and judgments and opinions and things like this. And we've got to be different, and we've got to want our church to change and not feel like we've always got to be the way we are today. I think last night was a classic example. I mean, the variety of types of people that were there last night was just wonderful. Yeah, we've also been changing in terms of the way the church is led. You know, I feel that's also a breaking of fallow ground. You know, we've been used to for many years, we've been used to strong platform-led leadership. And that's great, you know, and it's like our friend Whoopi, whatever her real name is, you know, says, we know we're moving on to a new season and new seasons need new leaders. There's nothing wrong with the way things were led in the past. But God is breaking the fallow ground, says, no, I need something different now. And this is where we have this sense of grassroots church, and we're seeing God break this fallow ground. And, you know, the things that are happening within us all and the initiatives we are all taking, not just me, is so encouraging me. God is changing us. He's breaking up this fallow ground. You know, we're doing new things. We're stepping out of our comfort zones. You know, many of you have done things that you've never done before. You know, it's been scary. But I suspect if I was to ask every one of you that stepped out of your comfort zones, you're probably really glad that you've done it, aren't you? You feel thrilled that you know, by faith, you stepped out and you did these things. You know, maybe I'm a little bit like a crack record, but I love this church. And I love what God is doing in this church. And I love the season we're in. You know, we're being shaken all about. But it's good, because God's doing a good thing. God knows what he's doing. He's fallowing this ground, because God has something really wonderful for us. He's allowed us time to refresh. He's allowed us time to re-strengthen. He's allowed us time to rejuvenate. But now he's shaking us up for a good thing, because we're going to be sowing more seeds and more righteousness, and God is going to rain down upon us, because that's the promise of his word. But there's another aspect of this. And as I thought about this phrase, break up your fallow ground, I found God pressing on me the word your. Break up your fallow ground. So on the one hand, God is fallowing us as a church. But God said to me, what about your fallow ground? Your individual fallow ground. You know, what is it in your own personal life that God is saying, it's time to break this up, to turn it over, to shuffle it about? And really, that's where I want to just spend the rest of the time while I'm sharing. Now, to do this, I want to share a bit of a testimony. As you know, at the beginning of this year, I had a bit of an injury. thanks to my son, who invited me round on the New Year's Day to come and help him in his garden. He'll blame it all on me, of course, you know, for being a wimp and whatever. I can't remember what words he used, but he was non-complimentary. But we had this very heavy plank of wood or beam or whatever it was that we needed to move, and I leant over and I picked it up and we moved it and put it somewhere, and everything was fine. I had no idea whatsoever that I'd hurt myself. But by the end of the day, you know, in the evening, I was in a lot of pain in my shoulder and my neck. And by the next day, you know, it was truly excruciating. And then I had to go to work, and you know, I kind of survived most of a day at work. And then, you know, the next day, I didn't make it into work, and I was in so much pain. And it was agony. It was truly 24/7 pain. And, you know, I know Ed knows some of this, and some of others have experienced, you know, when you're just in constant pain, it's very, very debilitating. And, you know, I ended up contacting my private health that I have through work, and I was able to immediately get some physiotherapy treatment. And, you know, over a course of literally 6 weeks of treatment and endless prayer from people, and praying for myself, you know, I thank God, you know, it's completely gone. No pain whatsoever. But my physiotherapist was an interesting man, and I might even email him the podcast of this preach when it's up there. He's a Christian. He goes to Woodlands Church. He's a lovely man, and we talked Christian things whilst I was having physiotherapy, and that was nice. But he had some interesting words to say to me. He said that if I was a car, then I would be in need of a major service, which is kind of a very, very encouraging, you know. These are the kind of things that Christians say to you, really, to encourage you. If I was a car, I'd be in a need of a major service. He also said on a different occasion, he says, you know, I'm like a piece of steak that's been left on the work surface for a month. Really nice guy. I highly recommend him. Because what he was saying is that, you know, a piece of steak, when it's fresh, it's very soft and supple. You can bend it and it's lovely. But after a month, that outer, you know, it just gets very hard. And he said, you know, he says, that's what my muscles have become like. He says, you know, my muscles are sort of, you know, that's why I can have a tendency to injure myself, because I'm not as supple as I should be. He did a test, you know, towards the end of my treatment. He did a test, and, you know, I had to lie down. He's bending my legs up, bending my arms over, pressing on, all sorts of things, you know. And apparently I failed 75% of the tests, okay. Now, in fairness, the average pass rate is 50%, okay, so I didn't feel quite so bad. Nevertheless, I failed this test pretty miserably, and this is why he was saying that, you know, I need to get into some sort of regime of exercise. But, you know, what was strange about this is I really, really thought I was okay. I mean, look at me. Don't you think I look like a fit guy? I can do this. I can touch my toes. Look, you know, at 55, touching my toes, just as easy as that. I mean, that's not bad, is it, really? Yeah, I actually came up as well. I'm still stand up after touching my toes. I know you're all worried, you know. Don't overdo it, Rich. But, you know, I mean, don't you think I look okay, really? I'm a reasonably fit guy. I play squash. I've just decided to stop playing squash, and I feel that's the right decision. But I've been playing squash right up to, you know, in my 55s. I always said I wanted to do that. And, you know, on the whole, I'm a pretty fit guy. So you can imagine the shock when you're told, well, actually, Rich, you know, you've got a problem. And I was really, really, really unaware that I had this problem. I genuinely thought I was okay. Now, he has given me some exercises to do. This exercise is called the slump exercise. Good word for a brummy, slump, okay? And you have to sit on a chair like, and you slump down, and you kind of lift your legs up, and it stretches certain muscles within your body, okay? So I have to do this at work. So I've had to tell my team at work, so if you see me sitting like this, I'm not dead, okay? Because it kind of looks pretty bad, doesn't it, okay? And I did say this to them. I literally said this. I mean, if you see me sitting like this, I'm not dead. So I have to do this, and also I've bought all the gadgets as well. Okay, so this is in Samuel's room. This is that big exercise ball, and to the right there, some rollers and it's all these stretchy elastic sort of things that you can use to, you know, test, you know, strengthen your muscles and that. Here's the killer. How much of this exercise stuff do you think I've done? Well, tints you into it a little bit. Not quite none. Yeah, I've hardly done any of it, you know. I know that I need it. I've been told professionally that this is what I've got to do. But I'm finding it really hard. I find it really hard to motivate myself to do it, even though I know I need to do it. You know, I genuinely thought I was okay. Now I'm told, you know, I've got to do all this stuff. And it's really hard. It's like a fallow ground in my body. You know, there's the stuff in my body that I need to get working properly again. I need to get all the flow of blood and oxygen, you know, through all my muscles and soften them all up and, my, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I've got to break up that kind of bodily fallow ground. And, you know, we want it to be easy. You know, we just love it to be easy, but sometimes it's not. And the reason I share this testimony with you is because as I thought about this situation, and I always said to my physiotherapist, I said, you know, when I was going through agony, I mean, tell you that some of the pain I endured from my physiotherapist was 100 times worse pain than the pain I was enduring with my shoulder, you know. But I know he had to do this. But I said to him, I said, I'm sure I'm going to get a preach out of this. So this is the preach that I got out of my physiotherapy. And the thing is this same thing is true spiritually. That, you know, that sometimes we are unaware that there are things spiritually that we, you know, we need to work on. You know, we think we're okay. We think we're doing all the right things. We think we're spiritually healthy. But maybe, just maybe, you know, there are things in our lives spiritually that we need to break up that fallow ground. We need to go back and work at and strengthen and get working properly. Because if left for long periods of time, it becomes really hard and that's not good for us. And we become vulnerable to the enemy who just is out there to steal, kill and destroy. It's great that God is doing a following work with us as a church. But ultimately, sooner or later, it comes down to our individual walk with God. And you know, there's no pill for this. There was no pill really I could take for my shoulder. I mean, I was taking painkillers. But there was no real pill. You know, this had to be worked through and I needed to do the exercises. And long term, I do need to do these exercises and it's not going to be solved with a pill. It requires effort and determination and commitment. So this brought me to another dilemma from last week. Because if you remember Tony Martin, one of the things he shared, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he says, you know, it's not about how hard you work. It's about allowing the Spirit to do His work. So, you know, so I was listening and thinking, oh, you know, so how does that work with what I'm talking about? But it is quite obvious, really, because what I'm not saying is, you know, as a church or in terms of our walk with God, we've got to work harder in the flesh. It's not about how hard we work in the flesh. But what we've got to do is we've got to work to get the Spirit of God that is within us to be effective in all that we do. You know, we have the Spirit within us. But if we're not doing what we need to do to allow the Spirit to flow, like I need to get the blood and everything to flow in my body, then we're not going to be effective and powerful as we could be. And so that's what it means by the effort that I'm talking about. So what kind of things? Well, here's a whole list and I'm not going to go through them all. You know, there's a whole lot of things here that maybe we can look at and might need attention, and this is not an exhaustive list. You know, these are just a few things I've picked out. You know, prayer, reading God's word, fellowship, meeting together, faith, visions, dreams, gifts, you know, sharing faith, you know, sharing the gospel, serving one another, maybe your first love. You know, it's so easy to lose our first love for God. These are just a few areas, and there could be loads more. And what I'm saying here is that, you know, the things that maybe we should sit back and step back and do a kind of a self-health check. How am I doing on these things or other things that maybe, you know, God should lay on your heart? You know, is there any, do these represent a kind of a fallow ground in my life where, really, I'm not really working at this, and you know, I'm becoming a bit stagnant or hard or dry. You know, there's kind of nothing there. I don't feel the life of the Spirit in some of these things. Then that's what we, you know, we need to think about. And like I said, you know, I thought I was okay physically, and so it was a shock to be told that I needed to do something about this. And you know, what are you feeling? Maybe we're all sitting thinking, well, you know, I thought I was okay. You know, I'm happy in God. You know, everything's great. I really thought I was okay. And all I'm saying is allow the Holy Spirit, our spiritual doctor, our spiritual physiotherapist, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because he might say, and you may be surprised, well, you know, have you thought about this? You know, unless you work in this area, you know, you could be picked off by Satan. You know, you're making yourself vulnerable. Let's just look at one or two of them, just briefly. Prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And I like the way the alert mind and the thankful heart, and the mind and the heart are kind of together in this verse, because, you know, that's how prayer should be. It's a combination of, you know, engaging our intellect and our thoughts, but it's also the heart and our emotions, and the two really work together there. But it's the word devote is the killer here, because devote means to give all or most of one's time and resources to a person or thing. And my experience is that prayer is hard. For most people find praying hard. You know, do get a lot out of praying. And, you know, we might do emergency prayers when we need God to answer something specific because we're ill, or, you know, we're hitting a crisis, or there's financial needs or something like that, and we pray to God. But how much is prayer a real lifestyle? You know, prayer was never really meant to be a list of wants and needs that we give to God. Prayer is meant to be, you know, a communication with God, with the one that we love, and we just talk to him, and we offload to him when we've got stuff to offload, and we rejoice with him when things are exciting. And I went home thanking God last night. I felt blessed, and I thought, thank you, that was great, you know. But that was a prayer, and that's how prayer should be. But if you were to really be honest with yourself and say, how is my prayer life? You know, prayer is really important. I did this one first because prayer is like breathing. It really is. You know, without prayer, you know, we're kind of suffocating as the spiritual life that is within us. You know, we need to pray because it's a two-way thing always. Breathing in God, breathing out God. It's really, 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 really important. But it needs to become a lifestyle. You know, it's not about just getting on your knees and praying, you know, a certain time of day. It's about praying in your car on your way to work, praying when you're going to get a coffee. You know, when you just have a quiet moment, you're just thinking, you're just talking to God in that moment. You barely even realize you're doing it. It's becoming part of you. And it's a lifestyle. I so feel we need to pray as a church. And this came up on Wednesday evening. And, you know, we were challenged. Hey, look, we had this great sort of 2 days of prayer, but, you know, we've only done it once. And it's true. And, you know, and I felt challenged by that. And I've been thinking about this as a church. You know, how do we pray? And it might not be about putting a regular prayer meeting. It's about how we pray. You know, what is it that burns us to pray? You know, if you've noticed on Wednesday evenings, I'll often say, well, has anyone got any prayer, you know, prayer needs? And that's good. But I wonder sometimes if that's really the right way to go about praying. What we should be saying is, what burden is on God's heart at this time? You know, because if we're all walking closely with God, God will lay a burden on us. And then what we should be bringing into the meeting is the burden of God. And as we pray into those things, you know, we will feel God ownership. You know, that somehow we've got to get hold of prayer as a church. And we need to get hold of prayer, you know, as individuals. And you might think this is a bit of an old crap record. I mean, I could well think, oh, you know, this is where people switch off with, oh, prayer, you know. How many times, I heard somebody say recently, how many times do we have to be told we've got to pray, read our Bibles? Well, probably all the time, to be honest. Probably all the time. We need to be told to do this all the time because it's so easy to let these things slip, and yet I really believe they're vital. And so have a think about, be honest, how is my prayer life? And maybe we need to shake ourselves up a little bit, both individually and as a church, reading God's word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, the recent open mic session, Ian came out, he only brought a very short word. But basically what he said is, you know, I've downloaded an app on my phone, I'm reading the Bible, and it's brilliant. That's a summary of what he said, wasn't it? Pretty well. But it's true. We need to read the word of God. You know, I worry sometimes, not point the finger now at this church, I worry generally about the church generally, about how much people read the word of God and understand the word of God and really, you know, really feed on the word. I mean, if prayer is like breathing, then the word of God is like eating and drinking. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We have to get into the word of God. Practically 99% of the way God speaks to me, 99% of the inspiration that I feel in the spirit comes through when I read the word of God. I also have an app on my phone. I use it practically every day. Now, I don't want to be like in the physical where I've got all those gadgets and balls and rollers and stretchy things and they're still stuck up in the room. I don't use them. Look, if you've got an app on your phone, use it. Use it. If you've got what Alison calls a real Bible, you've got a real Bible, well, then use that too. But use it. You know, use it. Don't let these things gather dust and don't switch off. You know, think, oh, you know, been told to read my Bible again, but we have to read our Bibles. You know, like the physio was telling me these things because he knows I need them. I'm sharing this with you because I know we need it. I know we need it. We need to pray individually. We need to pray as a church. We need to read the Word of God individually. We need to share the Word of God as a church. You know, these things we need to do, you know, and if you only just took these two things on, that probably would, you know, do 90% of the work. Just, you know, prayer and reading your Bible and just cultivating these things. You know, that long list, you know, we need to cultivate. You know, cultivate is an interesting word, incidentally. You know, cultivate means to promote, improve the growth of by labour and attention. You know, we're talking about the fallow ground and turning it and cultivating it. It requires work, labour and attention. And that's what we need to do. Let's just do a couple more, literally just two more. Well, I said I wasn't going to do them all. Gifts and prophecies. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He said, don't neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Now, are you putting your gifts and your talents and your experiences, are you putting them to work? Or are they kind of sat there dormant, you know, you're here but and you know you have gifts, but you're just not doing anything with them. And maybe you're not doing anything with them because, you know, you experience some sense of failure or disappointment, or just because you're where you are, you just don't feel you can do this at the moment. There's all sorts of reasons why people will sit on their gifts. Or maybe you're just waiting to be asked. Don't wait to be asked. This is grassroots church, folks. Don't wait to be asked. You know, a person will make room for their gift. If you're gifted with something, if you feel you have something to do, something to offer, and it could be really different to what we're used to, you know, but you know you have this gift, then make room for it. Take an initiative. Come and say, look, I like to do this. Chances are, I say, fantastic, make it happen. But, you know, use your gifts. The man makes room for the gifts. You know, sometimes the fulfillment of a gift or a prophetic word over your life can take time. I've always believed that God had called me to leadership. I've believed it ever since I was a child, literally. Ever since I was in my youth, I believed I was going to lead a church. I am now 55, and it was only when I was 54 did I actually take on the leadership of this church. It took a long time for that word to ultimately be fulfilled. What did I do between when I was in my youth believing that this is what God had called me to do to the beginning of last year when I took on this church? What did I do? I cultivated the words that were spoken over my life. So I positioned myself in the right places. I did the things that would be compatible with making sure that my life was aligned to where I felt ultimately God was calling myself to do. I didn't just sit back and wait for somehow God to create a miraculous opportunity and then suddenly, you know, I'm a leader. No, I led. And then I became a leader. And, you know, whatever your gifting is, don't wait for this magical opportunity. Just do it. Just do it and make room. And, you know, God ultimately will bring it to fruition. I loved what Dave shared this morning at the beginning of the meeting, these words from Arthur Ashe, wasn't it? Arthur Ashe, tennis player. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. Great words. If you're feeling that, do that. Start where you are. Don't start where you want to be. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. Last one. Dreams, visions. These are all kind of linked. I'm sure you realise that. You know, but the things sometimes that we are wishing for, praying for, hoping for, may not even be for yourself. It may be for a loved one, members of your family. Or it could be for yourself. And for whatever reason, you've lost hope. You've kind of given up. It's taken too long. It doesn't seem to be happening anymore. Circumstances have changed. You feel now like you're further away from your hope and your dream than you were 5 or 10 years ago. And then kind of what happens is you kind of put this on the shelf and you kind of forget about it. And there's a place for doing that sometimes. It's kind of bringing yourself into rest. But like all fallow ground, if left too long, it becomes hard and full of weeds and unusable and unfruitful. And maybe God's saying to us who carry dreams and visions, it's time to break up that fallow ground now. It's time to rekindle that dream, rekindle that hope, rekindle that faith. Bring it back to life again and really start engaging in prayer and fervency for God. And there's a particular verse I love in Matthew 7:7. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. And keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. And that's that keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. And I continue to be burdened for our prodigals, our loved ones, our sons and our daughters and our family members or even our friends that were once walking with God, but you probably would say they're not really walking with God anymore. And it's very sad when that happens and you feel the pain of that. And for a period of time, you know, you find yourself praying, but when it lasts for a long time, you kind of accept it. You say, well, you know, that's kind of where they are. And we've just got to leave it with God. Well, there's some truth in that. It's like all these things, it's a balance. It's kind of a tightrope thing we walk about leaving things with God and being at rest and peace and not anxious about something. But the other end of that tension is neglect, giving up, and think, well, this is the way it's always going to be. Don't think this is the way it's always going to be. That's not God's word to you. Break up the fallow ground. Remember the story of the lost sheep. You know, the shepherd went out and he didn't give up looking for that sheep until he found it, he put it on its shoulders and he brought it home. Don't ever, 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 ever give up on your lost sheep. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep finding opportunities of just sowing those words. Don't not sow the word of God. The word of God is life. You speak the word of God, and if they don't want to receive it, you speak the word of God to them. Every time it penetrates the soul, and you're not giving up, and you're saying to Satan, I'm not giving up. And you know, and you keep that ground soft and supple and flexible and alive, and eventually it will produce fruit. Don't give up on your prodigals. So, to wrap up, there are lots of areas we could have talked about. But I've just picked on one or two, but you might want to take time just to, you know, just to assess those things. But one of the ways sometimes we use the word fallow is in the kind of context of long fallow periods where nothing seems to happen. Sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes he says, not now. That's God's fallowing. It's a good thing Because for whatever reason, God is preparing you, and he's making you wait, and he's making you believe and build up your faith. He's trying to get you to a particular point until that time is ready. You know, don't despise those times, you know, when God is asking you to wait. Also, sometimes, you know, don't think the breaking up the fallow ground is easy. You know, you don't just sort of just kind of scrape away the topsoil and think everything's going to be okay. You know, you've got to do a bit of work. You've got to get the fork in there, and you've got to turn it over, and you've got to dig those weeds out. You know, if God is challenging you at the moment about any particular fallow ground, you need to put in the effort and make it work. You've got to turn the ground. And, you know, I put this one in about it's good that we enjoy certain things, but we've also got to work on some things that we don't always enjoy and find hard. You know, I love playing squash. And I thought that playing squash was enough. And you would think so, wouldn't you? You would think that a guy like me, if I'm playing squash once a week, which is what I was doing, you'd think that is all the exercise I needed to do. But I realised it was not enough. And that's the truth. It was a great exercise. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved the competition. But there were areas in my life that playing squash had no effect on. And we might be really fulfilled in worship, or we might be really fulfilled in our Bible studies or things like that. You know, there are areas in our lives that we thoroughly enjoy and we find easy. And that's great. But don't neglect the things you don't find easy, because those are that might be the very things we really need to address. And finally, remember this was a promise. As we break up the fallow ground, he will shower righteousness upon us. It's time to seek the Lord. That means it's now. It's time now. So folks, don't put this off. If this is the God's word to us now, then don't put it off, okay? And finally, this is where I really break all the rules of preaching. Finally, you know, my physiotherapist gave me billions of different exercises to do, but the reality was I couldn't do them all, and he knew I couldn't do them all. And so he gave me some advice of what I should focus on. You know, as you think about these things, you might be feeling a bit overwhelmed now. Oh, so many things I need to put right. Well, you can't do it all. That's the truth. You can't do it all. But do something. Do something. Ask God to show you where to start and do something. And finally, I thought this is a great scripture. Physical training is good, and I know I've got to do that. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. We need to work at building up our spirits and our walk with God. It does not come for free, and there is no pill that gives us the answer. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word to us this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us. You'll speak to us through your Holy Spirit in terms of what fallow ground we find in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will show us and give us the strength and motivation, Father, to work at making your spirit alive, as alive as it can be, that will be effective, Father, for you and in your kingdom. Lord, I pray for our prodigals that you really did lay on my heart, and I pray that we'll never, 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 never give up on them. That we'll be like the shepherd who goes looking for the lost sheep, and we don't give up until we find that sheep and we bring him back. And Lord, may we have the same attitude, not necessarily going out looking, but Lord, we never lose sight of that longing and that search to bring them home, Father. Lord, speak to us, I pray, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.